This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Saturday, March 31st, 2018. The Vigil Mass of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Say his disciples came and took him. In the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer, and the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The resurrection is the center point of our faith. Done a whole lot of Easter homilies, all kind of theology. You go on and on and on about the theology. Never really paid much attention to the utter nonsense of the claim of the Pharisees, this thing that they tell the guards, tell them the disciples came and took him. We just let that one kind of just breeze by us as we're reading all this glorious thing about the resurrection. And it's not just something to wag our heads about the people who said it, but to make sure that we don't commit the same thing. And that is excuses why not to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. You hardly will find anyone that doesn't believe that there was this man, Jesus Christ, who was crucified, who died. A lot of times we speak of Christ dying for our sins. Dying is no big deal. Everyone does it. Even dying for a good cause, everyone does it. Rising again from the dead is something completely different. The Jew, the Muslim, they all believe that Jesus Christ died. We are the only ones who believe he has risen. But you know what? It takes a whole lot less mental gymnastics to believe that he is risen than not. When you look at what the Pharisees wanted these guards to say, say his disciples came and took him. Let's backtrack a little bit and look at the scenario. These guards are confronted with a situation in which God has an earthquake happen. An earthquake. That gets your attention. I've been in one. It's a very, very scary thing. You are very attuned to what's going on around you. There's an earthquake. He's got the guard's attention. And then the stone is rolled away and our Lord comes out. And they go running back and they tell the Pharisees. Hey, and the Pharisee, the best they can come up with is tell them his disciples came and took him. Really? Where are the disciples after our Lord's crucifixion, before he's crucified, where are they? They are scattered. They're scattered. They run everywhere. They're hiding for their lives. They've denied him publicly. They got nothing for being out and about. If there was any truth, it would have been better for the Pharisees if they weren't worried about him rising from the dead. Why did they go to Pilate? They go to Pilate and say, hey, so that the later deception is not any worse than the first, give us a guard. Pilate says, here's your guard. Soldiers, military men, men of discipline. They are posted at the tomb. And the Pharisees say his disciples came in. A group of scared to death fishermen, tax collectors, they're going to confront armed Roman soldiers, men tested in battle, and they're going to steal a body from a tomb with a big rock in front of it that's been sealed. It's utterly ridiculous to think that. And here's the best. Tell them while you were asleep that his disciples came and took him. You want people who say they were asleep to say what happened. That's par for the course for the Pharisees. The Pharisees who purchased the man's blood. We would call that put a contract out on him. They purchased our Savior's blood. They illegally tried him. They bore false witness against him in the illegal trial. And then they bore false witness against him to Pilate. And when even Pilate, the pagan judge, who beat him within an inch of his life to get them to step off of him, hey, will they see how bad I beat him? They will even have sympathy. No. And they have him crucified. All this nonsense. The Lord of glory, who showed that he was the true Son of God by virgin birth, walking on water, curing blind people, making crippled people walk, raising people from the dead, proved the truth of everything he said. Didn't just say it, proved it. Proved it. And he proved he was risen from the dead by having an earthquake, sending angels, and having the guards petrified. They knew exactly what happened. And then the best excuse they can come up with is tell him his disciples came and took him. Again, this isn't to wag our heads. We just heard all these readings about the history of our salvation. This God who worked through all those things from Genesis all the way up to the Gospels. This same God is the one who humbled himself to come live a life here that we might have the opportunity to go to heaven with him. We can never make excuses for why we don't believe. You guys are here this evening. I don't say this for you. I say this for you to take to others. It's a ridiculous proposition to make excuses about why you don't come to faith in Jesus Christ. Ridiculous. I've sinned too much. Nothing's been proven. There's nothing but proofs. Our Lord Jesus Christ changes souls. Come to my office and talk to me someday about it. About the dramatic change that there can be. A person's outside the church for 30 years. You come back and then stand up here and do this. Our Lord works marvelously still. We heard all of the readings about his marvelous work in the past. We can see in each other's lives the marvelous work that he does, and he will continue to do the same. Excuses are ridiculous, no matter how learned the person may be that throws them out. If you really look at them, like I said, look at that ridiculous statement, say his disciples came and took him. They are all like that. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.